verses. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for our country, that you have blessed us to be here, those of us who are born here, those of us who have come and lived and worked and helped to build this country together. Lord, we pray for each person, for this entire nation, we pray, Lord God. And even though there are times when we get concerned because we see what is going on and all the things that breaks our hearts, but there's so much that is of good in this country. And so we thank you. And remind us as we again come to celebrate another year of independence, the birth of a nation. Lord God, remind us that you've been with us through all these years, and you'll continue to be with us as long as we do not turn away from you. So, Holy God, as I stand here today, I pray for the United States of America, our citizens, all of us, your people, your children, and pray that there be unity and love between us all. And as we come together this day, bless our church. Always bless us here in this country, that there will be freedom of religion, that we'll be able to pray to God and to Jesus Christ and to pray to whomever we choose, God, as long as there is the United States of America. Bless us this day, Lord God, and we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. I was smiling when the gospel was being read because Jesus' words were short today. As it was read, I thought, he's just saying a couple of things. Sometimes when they put the lecture together, it's so funny. But in those few little words, he's saying something profound. So I'll make my words few. I'll follow the example of Jesus. And so I read this little reflection. You know that you could smile at when you read the Bible. There are things in the Bible that you say, what? And then you say, why? And then you smile. Have you ever done that? When you read the Bible often enough, some things you can't believe. You says, is that so? But the Bible is like that. It will surprise you even though you read it over and over again. And so I read this little reflection and it says, welcome is whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And the author said, I saw him in the church building for the first time on Wednesday. He was in his mid-70s with thinning silver hair and a neat brown suit. Many times in the past, I had invited him to come. Several other Christian friends had talked to him about the Lord and had tried to share the good news with him. He was well respected, honest, a man of good character. He acted much like a Christian would act, but he never came to church or professed Christ. After I got to know him well, and we talked about a wide range of subjects, I asked him if he had ever been to a church service. He hesitated. Then, with a twisted grimace, he told me of an experience he had as a boy. He was raised in a large family. His parents survived the Depression, but they struggled to provide food and clothing for the family. When he was around 10 years old, a friend invited him to go to church with his family. He went. The Sunday school class was great. The songs were fun to sing, and the stories, all the great Bible stories, were exciting to hear. He had never heard anyone read from the Bible before. As class ended, the teacher pulled him aside and said, "Son, please don't come again dressed as you are now. We want to look our best when we come into God's house." He looked down at his old hand-me-down overalls that were certainly worn and tattered. He thought about that for a moment and said softly, "No, ma'am, I won't ever." Then he looked at me, the author wrote, and said, "And you know what? I never did." It was clear that he was done with that conversation. The author reflected, I am sure that Sunday school teacher meant well. In fact, was representing the feeling of the majority of the folks in that church. But what if? What if that Sunday school teacher, these are my thoughts, had just welcomed this child with open arms? What if the Sunday school teacher had welcomed this child with no conditions? My thoughts. What if the Sunday school teacher had welcomed this child with no stipulation or terms? What if? This man would probably have stayed in church and given his life to Christ. The what if is for all of us. My sermon title today is The Power of a Glass of Water. Jesus says, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. You see what Jesus is saying here now, it's not the huge big things that we think we always do that always matters. It's the little things. A little glass of water. It's a metaphor for doing something that is simple. It is what is called hospitality, biblical hospitality. Discipleship equals hospitality. And hospitality is the friendly reception and treatment of guests and strangers. Hospitality is the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way. We in America have to remember this nation was built on hospitality. This Christian nation, hospitality, welcoming. Statue of Liberty for us reminds us of that. That's why it was founded in Christian principles, to welcome the strangers among us. There's a scripture that says, let's welcome the strangers among us because we do not know we may be entertaining angels. Angels from God. And so this young man turned away from church, never went back because somebody dared to look at what he was wearing and made that an issue. We want people to come to our church. We wanted them to join the church, but then we put the rules down. And we forget that when we came, a lot of us who look nice now, I'm in a nice little outfit, didn't always look this nice. We didn't always could afford what we can afford, right? And so we have to remember that. Sometimes God asks us to make great sacrifices, as in the case of the Old Testament text. Right, we see God asking Abraham to give his son, to sacrifice his only son. That's the text that was read to you today. To sacrifice his only son because it was a test for Abraham. But God had a plan. God did not intend for him to do that. He wanted to see if Abraham was going to obey him. It was about obedience, about doing what the Lord said. And so as he told Abraham, the text says, to take Isaac and to take him up into the mountain and to sacrifice him unto the Lord. And when you read that text, your heart breaks as you're reading it. You can imagine what's going through Abraham's mind because this boy, they had waited for this boy, Abraham and Sarah. It was a child of their old age. They had waited and waited and waited to get this child. And here God was testing them to do this. But Abraham was obedient. And at the moment that he laid that boy down and lit the fire, he couldn't even look at his son because he was boiling. God said, no, don't touch that boy. I don't want you to do that. You don't lay a hand on your boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram. God would provide. God test us. Test us to see what we will do. But in this text of the gospel, God is not asking us to do anything that he asked Abraham to do. He's not even testing us with anything major. He's not asking us to, to sacrifice our children, our grandchildren. He's not asking us to sacrifice, you know, our lives, because he sent Jesus Christ to do that, who sacrificed his life for us. So you know, human sacrifice is not important to God anymore. Right? That's why he created this whole new nation of followers of Yahweh, and then he would send Jesus Christ to be the final and the only sacrifice. So he doesn't need human sacrifices anymore. God doesn't need that, doesn't desire that. But God is asking us to do simple things. The words of Jesus were for the disciple, but it's also for us, the church. You see, Jesus is only asking us to offer, to step out of our comfort zone. What if the church would stop saying over and over, this is what we used to do. This is how we used to do it. This is how we put one foot before the other. How come we are always saying that about things in the church, but we don't say that in our houses? Who here is watching a black and white TV? Right? Who here is plugging in one of those big boxes and watching it? Nobody. Right? Some people are, and if they are, because they're taking this as antique. Not because they can't afford. I'm talking about technology. Right? You know, you may be keeping a black and white TV because you like to look at it, but it's not because you have to, right? Because we love that technology. Who here is riding horse and buggy to work? I mean, not here in Hicksville. There may be people other part of the world. We're not jumping up in our horse and buggy and says, whoopee, let's go to work. If you go up to Canada, to the Mennonites or out in Pennsylvania, because they're still living then. Because they want to live that way, they've chosen no electricity and all of that. But we're all jumping into our cars and coming to work because change happens. Yet the church should remain. If you move a chair from one spot to the next spot, it could, five committee meetings could happen. And nobody was sitting on the chair. The chair was of no purpose. Yet, just because the chair is moved, you could pass this one thing forever and ever, and it doesn't look good, and it doesn't feel good, and it doesn't do anything for anyone. And the moment you change it, somebody says, well, why did you change that? No reason. We have to understand that hospitality means that we are going to make room and make place for other people. Because somebody had to make room and place for us. A glass of water. Jesus didn't even say in this text about giving them a full meal. Huh? He's not even pushing the envelope. A cold glass of water. What a metaphor. We know what a cold glass of water means, right? What a storyteller Jesus is. Right? He takes one little thing. Right? We know when somebody's thirsty, and what he's reminding us, there are people who are thirsty for hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're thirsty, wanting to hear the good news that God loves them, that God died for them through Jesus Christ, that the church will pray with them, that the church will go visit them when they're sick, that the church will go to a hospital or a nursing home, that there are those of us who will visit and we will sit next to them, and they don't even have to be members. You know, sometimes the funeral home calls me up to do a funeral, and I don't always want to go. I know, because, you know, after a while, you know, you get, the people doesn't have anybody to bury them, or they've never been in church, and they'll call about Dalton and Wagner, and I don't want, you know, some pastors are on the list and they always want to go. It takes a lot out of me because I don't ever do a funeral simple. Doesn't matter what I know the people or not. You know, I call up the family ahead of time and I want to know a little bit about them so I could say, so I don't always want to go, but every now and then I'll think of it when they call me and I'll say, this person is gone and they have nobody. Right? They need a pastor. Whether they're a believer or not, they need a minister to come and bless. And I'll go. And I'll go just to bring comfort to that family and to that loved one. Not sometimes because I want to go, but because I need to go. Jesus wants us to do simple things. Offer a stranger. And I will tell you these two stories of brief reflection, and then I'll close. This is real. On Thursday, I was here waiting for the surrette. You know, remember to keep you know, the surrogate in your family that Elaine met in a car accident. Pray for that family, please. Pray for her. She met in a car accident, was driving and run into a pole, and her car was total. But she just hurt her wrist. She's facing, you know, she's going to her valley, huh? She hurt her wrist and is going to be operated, and she just lost her husband. And she said, I guess she was dead, whatever happened, she, you know, probably got her mind on something else with all that is going on. So she'll be getting the operation on Monday. I think it's ambulatory. So please pray for her and pray for her son, because he's going through, it's hard for him. So anyway, they're going to be having baptizing the other baby on the 16th, which the father has wanted to see so badly. He'll see from heaven. But so I was waiting for them, they were coming to talk with me, and I said, it's good I wanted to see them, because I already knew about she had gotten in the accident on Monday, I believe, the Monday earlier. So as I was sitting there waiting, Mrs. said, there's a woman coming up the step, and she's walking, you know, she was walking with a cane, and she says, I'll go to the door to speak with her. And she went, and she came. I says, Pastor, I think she needs to see a pastor. So I looked down at my iPhone, and I says, but I have a meeting now. You know, I don't want to do this, you know, because they're coming at 1:30. So, like God always does, he was testing me. I said, you know, but bring her in, and I could see what she wants. So I brought her in, and as she comes to the door to sit down, the phone rings. And Joan Hamilton was here helping Ron. And Joan, I says, Missy had left. I says, please pick up the phone for me. And it was just a red calling and say, they're going to be late. I says, look at God. She really wants me to speak to this woman. Right? That they were going to be late. Just like that. I said, I can't talk to her now. And I'm telling the lady, I can only talk to you for a minute. And the phone rings. And the surrogate says, they're going to be 20 minutes late. This is a God moment. So I got the lady into the room and I begin to speak with her. She was an Indian woman. She's an Indian woman. Gave me her name. And when she sit down, this is how amazing it is. She started to talk. I asked her. She said she lived here on Jerusalem. And her husband died 30 years ago. And then here's what she said to me. She says, and she needs help with her cell phone. Now, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, you're playing with me. I says, God, you're playing with my brain. I says, you need what? She says, it is a true story. I cannot make it up. She was there because she was dusting the office. I says, you need help with your cell phone? She says, yes. And, you know, she has a little accent, but she speaks English. And she said, I need help with my cell phone. She says, I live alone, and I need to be able to call and to text. And I'm sitting there thinking, I got a family coming in that the woman just met in a car accident. But I'm listening, and she began to ask me, I said, well, do you have any family? And she said, yes, I have my son and daughter, but they're traveling, and they can't help me. And I'm still trying to figure this out, right? So I took the cell phone, and I'm looking at the cell phone, and I said, this is how you, and she knew, you know, to pick up a call. So then I said to her, and it didn't matter to me what religion she was, but I wanted to encourage her to find her community. Like, I said to her, are you Christian or are you Hindu? And she says, oh, I believe in God, one God. And I says, I just want to know. She says, I am Hindu. I says, do you go to the Hindu temple? There are a lot of young people there who could help you with the cell phone. Because she keep asking me, do I have somebody to help her with the cell phone? Like, you know, a couple of days a week. I said, and she tried to explain to me. And she says, I don't go to the temple as a Hindu. We have our temples in our homes. And we have all, she says, you know, we worship all gods, many gods. And we have our temple in our home. And I begin to realize that she was what? Lonely. It wasn't so the cell phone. She needed someone to talk to. And she came, yes, she came. I told her to come to church on Friday. But I wanted, yes, I told her to come, and I said to come downstairs. She wanted someone to talk to. So I said to her afterwards, after I got that, I says, she started telling me the story about her husband dying. I says, could I pray with you? And she said, yes. And I began to pray. And let me tell you, every line of the prayer that I said, she repeated it. So I says, dear God, would you bless Zora, whatever her name was. She had given me a name, and she says, dear God, would you bless me, Zora? And she repeated every line of the prayer after me. And then she held my hand, and she says, you know, you're an angel from God. And I said, not always. But today I was, but it's not always that I'm an angel. You know, some days I, you know what I am. Well, we can't even say the word. But today I was an angel. I wasn't going to get confused now, because I'm working on angelhood, and it's a hard process. And so we prayed, and I hugged her, and I gave her our brochure, and I told her to come on Friday, and I said, Zam Zam is an Indian, and she'll be, and I know she speaks Hindi, and I said, she'll be here, and I told her, and you could, when you come, there's a food pantry, you could speak. But you know what she wanted? She needed company. It wasn't the cell phone. Because she could answer the cell phone. She needed company. She needed a cold glass of water. That's it. I didn't have anything major to give her, but to sit there and pray with her. She even said, and Lord Jesus, she even mentioned, oh Jesus, I know you love me. And I said, yes, he loves everybody. She needed a cold glass of water. That's what is needed. That's hospitality. Jesus doesn't care if you're Hindu, Muslim, Christian. Lord knows he loves the Christian. God, does he ever love us? He loves everybody. He has a big heart. Right? And she needed a glass of water. And so this is what the Lord is asking us in this text. To give a glass of water. To step out of what is planned. Because you know something? I met with a woman for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And those folks didn't come until much later. That God was saying, this moment in time, you need to just sit with this lady. And I'm glad to hear she came on Friday. I wish I had come down to see her, but I'm glad she came. Yes, good. And I'm glad she did, and she just needed to talk to someone. So thanks be to God. Sometimes you just need to hear someone say, there's a God who loves you. To listen to your palm, to hold your hands, whatever it is. And not to question. Right, because at the point I was thinking, you know, she wants her phone. Maybe she's not playing with a full deck. What? Maybe, you know. But that's not what I'm supposed to have to figure out. We're not supposed to analyze and figure out. We're supposed to do what? Love one another. Hospitality. And our church sitting here is an example of what that needs to be. That's what the Lord is saying. We are following his words. The words that were handed down to the disciples are now handed down to us. And there are times we have to step out of our comfort zone. And we don't have to get the full answer. We don't have to psychoanalyze anyone. We just have to pray with them. Hold their hands. Offer them the love of Jesus Christ. Which to many is a cold glass of water. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you.